morning. I want to wish all of our fathers Happy Father's Day. You know, I must have really been hard on mothers on Mother's Day, because I had several women go, "You're going to get those fathers this time, right? Like you did us." No. Because I don't like preaching at myself. It's all right to preach at mothers. When I get on fathers, I start stomping my own toes, and I don't like that. Before we do get into our lesson, though, I do want to mention that just about a little over a month away from our Go Preach preaching camp. And hope that you're praying about that. We're going to be training young men to preach. They will be staying here at the building the entire week. We will have, starting next week, we'll get some information out to you as far as some of our food needs and some other ways that you can serve during that week to help us out, see that week be the best success that it can be. If you are here and you're one of our young men, ages 13 to 18, that's a Christian, and you would like to be a part of that, you need to sign up this week. And I know there's been a few that have told me they're going, that they want to come, but I have yet to see their application come through on the internet. So you can sign up online at gopreachtc.org, or you can see me and I'll get you a paper application. But we do need to get a number now, an exact number of how many campers we're going to have. So if you are planning to be a part of that, please make sure that you get that taken care of this week so that we can be assured. Looking forward to it. Going to have a great week. Got some good men coming in. Brother Stephen Guy is going to be back from Myrtle Beach to join us to teach homiletics. And so we're looking forward to a good week with good men teaching these young men how to be preachers. And we need all the preachers we can get, friends. And we don't have enough. And we need more men that want to serve and to preach. Fathers, we have good fathers. I think most of us would say that we have good fathers. I was blessed with a wonderful father. And I love him dearly for the things that he has done. I try myself, though I know my many flaws, I try myself to be a good father. And yet I understand that as I look at myself, or I look at my own father, or my father talks about his father, I know that ultimately all fathers, earthly fathers here, are going to fall short in some way. We're not perfect. And we certainly struggle in our efforts to be the fathers that we know we need to be, and that certainly love in our hearts drives us to be. But yet, what we need to do at the end of the day is we need to look at an example of a father who never failed, of a father who is the perfect example of a father. You know, we look in a lot of places, and yet a lot of times we don't look in the one place that we need to look. We need to look at the God in heaven, our Heavenly Father. I want us to think about some ways, some things that we can just see from God our Father, and examples that He has set as a Father to us that we can certainly apply in our lives as we try to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. First, we see that God loves His children with more than words. You know, most fathers have no trouble saying the words, "I love you," yet we see in our culture that many fathers can say it, but few fathers seem to be able to live it, to truly show it, to demonstrate it in their actions on a daily basis too, as Romans 8 says, to manifest their love as God the Father manifested His love toward us in sending Jesus Christ. Fathers say they love but will not sacrifice. They will not sacrifice their recreation. They will not sacrifice their leisure time. They will not sacrifice success for their children. And yet, true love, agape love, the love of the Father in heaven, is a love of sacrifice. The sacrifice of what I would want for the best of what you need. You know, God has given so much of Himself from love to mankind. He longs to be the loving Father to each and every person who lives upon this earth today, whoever will live upon this earth today, and whoever has lived upon this earth in the past. You know, we think about the prodigal son, and it's such a common topic. It can come up. I could probably use the prodigal son in every single sermon if I so chose to. If I didn't think somebody started going, "There he goes again, talking about the prodigal son." But my friends, it is just so perfect an illustration of God in me. It's such a perfect illustration of a father. You know, Jesus was the master teacher, and I think the prodigal son may have been the pinnacle of his parables as he gives us this vision, this illustration of what God is like and what we're like. You know, the word parable is to a compound Greek word parabole, para, which means alongside of, and bole, to cast, literally to cast something alongside something else. Here's God in my relationship, and Jesus takes and he casts this illustration out there next to it that I might better understand how that relationship works, who I am in that illustration, and the kind of person that God is in that relationship. But that father, he loved his son. And it wasn't just words. It wasn't just, I love you, son. It was love with action. It was more than words. He loved his son and showed it by watching and longing for his return. I don't think that, you know, the son just happened to show up at the 5 minutes that the father peeked down the road, right? I think the father spent a good amount of time looking down the road, searching for his son, seeking for his return. My friends, while breath is in us as fathers, we should long and seek for the spiritual faithfulness of our children. In a few short years, my children will leave my house. They will go into adulthood and they will go out into their life. But my friends, I never stop being their father. When my children are not at home, I haven't stopped being their father. I will be their father till I breathe my last or they breathe their last. I'm always going to be their father. And I'm always going to be longing and looking for them to be ever spiritually more faithful to God. Doing those things and teaching those things, we'll talk more about that in a moment, that will help them be there. But there was God the Father in that illustration, longing for His Son to return. You know, our children will have to learn life, and sometimes that involves going astray for a time. We as parents continue to long and to look and to love for as long as we live. He also loved his son and showed it by accepting his repentant son back. Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. Just let me come home and be a servant. He wrapped his arms around him. I have seen on more than one occasion parents whose children have wanted to come back, wanted to mend relationships, wanted to get their lives right, and a parent feeling the necessity to punish them because of what they had done. Pride can destroy the ability to forgive. You know, I'm sure that the stories of his son's rebellious activities caused the father pain, caused him embarrassment. And he did not let those, though, stand in the way of accepting his son. Sometimes parents want to even up the score instead of just forgiving. They'll say things like, I just can't believe what you did. Do you know how that hurt me? Do you know how that embarrassed me? And they pound and they pound and they pound until the child turns around and walks back down the road. Instead of just putting their arms around them and rejoicing that they want to fix their life for Jesus Christ. The father was just glad to have found the son that was lost. He didn't feel need to give a list of all the things that the son had done. The son understood what he had done. He'd been in the pig pen, and he was home. And the father rejoiced. Such love. Love that has nothing to do with pride and everything to do with the spiritual well-being of his child. That is God the Father. He manifested his love by giving an intimate part of himself in Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 5 and 1 John chapter 4. He did all that because his love has driven him to desire the salvation of every single person on this earth. He does not wish for any to perish, Peter says, but for all to come to repentance. In other words, for all to come to salvation. There is no greater love than giving up those things most precious to you for the life of someone else. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And he says, you are my friends. The shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. But we are to lay down the love and greater love. We are to have that great love and willing to give up the things most precious to us for our children, especially if they have been rebellious and hateful toward us. Just as God, when you and I have been hateful and rebellious toward Him, and that's what sin is, friends, never make it into something not bad, because sin is horrible to God. And it was when, while we were yet sinners, according to Romans chapter 5, that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. That He loved me, even when I was everything that He was not. Even when they've been rebellious and hateful toward the ones who love them, like we have, fathers we love. Second thing we see about God the Father, not only does He love more than words, but He listens to His children. Prayer is an incredible thing. Prayer is, when I see people that aren't living faithfully, people that aren't really engaging in their Christian life, I can almost guarantee you that they are not praying people. I mentioned something at the retreat that I got some comments on afterwards, and some people were asking me to kind of clarify what I said, and even some people that didn't go to the retreat, it seemed to have gotten around, asked me about what I had said at the retreat. When I said, I don't believe in prayer, I believe in God. I believe in God. See, saying the words of a prayer would mean nothing if God wasn't on the other end. The power of God is the only thing that makes any difference in prayer. So I don't just believe in prayer. I believe in God. I believe in what He can do when He listens to His children. And He loves His children. We already talked about that He loves and He listens to me. And He listens to what I need. He listens to my pleas. And it is His love and His power that makes prayer make a difference in my life. I love that He listens to me. This morning we talked about in Hebrews chapter 2, who is man that God would remember him? Or the Son of Man that God would even consider him? Who am I for God to listen to? I'm His Son. And He's my Father. And it means so much that He listens to me. You know, we look in the Bible, in the pages of the Bible, we see Hannah praying so fervently because she wanted a child so badly. And she praying there in 1 Samuel, and God was listening. And He answered her prayer. We look at Psalm 51 and David's prayer that his sin might be forgiven after he had committed that heinous sin. He said, my sin is ever before me. And he begs God to create in him a clean heart to remove the blood guiltiness that was upon him. And God was listening. The prophet Nathan would say, you have been forgiven. You know, fathers too often fail to listen to their children. And because of that, they fail to understand their needs. They fail to understand the things that they need to understand about their children to be the father that they need to be. Fathers need to listen to their children. In this listening, though, we should understand that just listening is not giving our children everything that they say, right? It's not about giving our children everything that they want, and even necessarily what they say is right. But it gives us an opportunity to understand what they're thinking, to understand who they are, to understand how we can better guide them in our lives, in their lives as we parent them. You know, we should not give them anything that they ask for, because that will only produce spoiled children, right? That think all I have to do is say it and I get it. Given things that are given and never earned teaches irresponsibility to children. Giving things to make up for failing in other ways as a father or a mother or any kind of parent shows a lack of depth and real desire to do better, which is far more valuable. Just for them to see you change your life is far more valuable than some material goods. We need to listen. We need to show. God shows that while He listens, though, even with Him, it does not guarantee anything, that He's going to grant anything His children desire. Moses desired to enter the promised land, but he did not. David desired to build the temple, but he would not. Jesus begged not to drink the cup, but he did. Friends, I need never be haughty about God not giving me what I want when I read the story of Gethsemane, right? If His only Son, His only begotten Son begged for that, and He would not, who am I to think that I should always get what I want? Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, though, we have a wonderful text there about our Father in heaven, comparing Him to the fathers upon this earth in a lesser to greater comparison. He says, "Or what man is there among you?" This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. "Or what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." I'm an evil father compared to God. You know, Isaiah came into the presence of God and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. Let me tell you what, folks. When we're compared to God, we're evil. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you, who are not perfect like God, know how to do good things for your children, know how to love your children, how much more will the perfect God of heaven love you? How much more will He give you? I try to give my children the things I believe they need. I try to give them the things that I think they've got to have. But God far knows better than me what my children need and what I need. And He gives far better than I could ever give. He is the greatest Father there is. You know, the blessings of God are greater than we can comprehend. And they are exactly what we need, even when we do not know what that is. I do not know what will happen tomorrow for me. I do not know what trials I will face tomorrow, what difficulties I will face tomorrow. But I do know that God knows. He knows exactly what I will deal with tomorrow. And I pray that He gives me the blessings today to handle it. The strength today to prepare for it. We know some of the things that our children are going to have to face in this life. We understand that because we've walked the road, right? A lot of us, we've walked the path. We've already been down that little stretch of road. And we know some of the difficulties and we know some of the trials that come in that time of life. And we try to the very best of our abilities. And fathers, we should be doing this as we listen to them and hear what's going on in their lives. We need to recognize some of the things that we ourselves have already seen and experienced maybe ourselves. Help guide them. Give them strength to endure. Give them strength to overcome. Thanks be to God that He listens to us. May we as godly fathers listen to our children so that we can bless them with what they truly need. That brings us to the last thing. Is that our Heavenly Father guides us, guides His children in the way that is best. You know, I guess a part of the prodigal son story that we don't really get because it's not really talked about is what happened before the son went, "Hey, Dad, I want all that you what's owed to me so I can go and do whatever I want," right? It's what happened before that. Because let me tell you what, there's something that that son knew before that day. He knew something about his father before that day. And what he knew about his father is that his dad had taught him how to come home. He had taught him where home was. You know, our children may, in the choices of their life, decide to go into the faraway land of sin. But please, fathers, may we teach them where home is. May we put the seed in their heart that they may always know where the Father is. that one day when they come to themselves, and we pray every day that they do, when they come to themselves, they will know exactly where to get up and go. And go home to my Father to simply be a servant. That's what we need to do in guiding our children. We are all prodigals. And God has shown us in His Word where home is. He has shown us how to come home. He has shown us what we need to do when we find ourselves in the pig pen of sin. May we follow it. You know, God spent 4,000 years recorded in the Bible guiding His children in the way that is best, leaving example after example after example after example of what He wants for us to do, and in the New Testament giving us exactly who He wants us to be. He has done His part to guide us as a loving Father should. Now we choose as children to heed or not to heed that guidance. But He has done His part. May we do our parts as fathers. Fathers should be living according to God's guidance and pointing their children on His path as well. Let me tell you what, dads, you telling your children they need to be faithful Christians when you're not doing it yourself is worthless. And it won't work. You need to do as Jesus Christ did in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, and cannot emphasize that verse enough, that Jesus both began to do and teach. You're never qualified to teach until you've done. Is the best teacher the one that's done whatever he's teaching, or the one that hasn't? If you want to talk about living the faithful life, you want to talk about being a Christian to your children, you show them first, you do it first so that you know how to tell them how to be it. Plus, I can tell you this, that what they see impacts them far more than sometimes words. You got to love more than words. You got to love not only with the love that you show them in general, but you got to love them by showing them what you want them to be. That is a child of God, a faithful child of God. It will be the most valuable knowledge you ever give your children. I don't know what you think is important for your children to know. But most all of it will burn up one day. And only what you give them from God's Word will go on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. Think about it. Some people are highly educated, and they are lost. Some people are great businessmen with no hope of heaven. Some are famous, yet Jesus will say, I do not know you. Some are rich, but are spiritually impoverished. Some can run fast, yet they will never finish the spiritual race. Some can catch a ball and hit a ball, but they will miss salvation. Oh, we teach so many things to our children. We give so much time to so many things. May we never neglect the one thing that matters. May we never neglect guiding them in the way of God. That is raising your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, if you're wondering today how to be a great father, it's not going to be in some book filled with psychobabble. Dr. Spock was real smart, wasn't he? Didn't work for him, and it didn't work for a lot of other people that followed it either. And you certainly will not learn how to be a good father from television. Oh, heavens to Betsy, don't go there. I had a young girl say, well, why aren't my parents like Gilmore Girls? I was like, I don't even watch Gilmore Girls, but it's on television, so I know you're looking the wrong place. It's not on television. I like Little House on the Prairie. Michael Landon was a cool father on Little House, but you don't need to follow him either. Some of you are younger and going, hey, what's Little House? I know. Don't look at television. In fact, the only place you need to follow or go is to look and to learn about the Father that's found in this book. That's all you need to know. I promise you, at the end of the day, if you learn about Him, and you emulate Him, you will be the father you need to be. And you will always strive to be better. You will always be looking to be more like Him. You need to learn all you can about God. And that will make you a good father. It'll make you a great father. So what does every family need? They need a godly father. That's what every family needs. That's what every child needs. It will help your children. It will help you. It will help your marriage. It'll help everyone around you. It'll make you someone that truly makes a difference in this world. This morning, maybe right now in your life, you are that prodigal. Maybe you are out there in that faraway land of sin. You've walked away from the Father. Maybe you've never come to Him to begin with. But you're out there in the faraway land of sin. Know that the God in heaven, the Father in heaven, is looking for you. If only you will come to yourself. Realize that the life that you're living, a life in sin, is not the life you want. It certainly has no future. Certainly provides no hope. Come home. The Bible shows you the way. If it is to become a child of God, do so by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, choosing in repentance to not do those things ever again, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life as a child of God, able to go to your Father in prayer, know that He loves you, and follow His guidance. If you are that prodigal this morning, we will pray that you'll come to God. Know that He holds His arms open, waiting to embrace you and to rejoice, for He will have found what was lost. Maybe you've been in the Father's house. Maybe you've been born again into the Father's family, as John chapter 3 says. But yet you have said, I don't want to be here anymore, and you've went away. You haven't been there. You're in the land of sin. Come to yourself and realize that where you're at, no one cares about you. But the Father back at home does. Say, I want to go home. I've sinned against heaven and against you, Father. I just want to come home. And He will wrap His arms around you. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. And He will celebrate with the angels your return. If we can assist you in coming home this morning, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.